Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Thursday is Missouri Emancipation Day, marking 153 years since Missouri slaves were finally freed from bondage. It happened 2 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. The president's directive only applied to slaves in the states that had seceded from the Union. A special presentation will take place at the Missouri History Museum Thursday evening, commemorating the anniversary. It draws on voices from the graves at the historic African-American Greenwood Cemetery in Hillsdale. Joining me to talk about the history and the program are Shakia Gallette, the manager of local history initiatives at the Missouri History Museum. Etta Daniels is the head historian at Greenwood Cemetery. Marvin Greer is visitor experience lead at the Soldiers Memorial Military Museum. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Etta, let me begin with you. I think we should begin with a little bit of the sense of the history of Greenwood Cemetery. Can you give us a thumbnail version of it?
Well, a short version, certainly. Greenwood Cemetery opened in 1874, shortly thereafter the end of the Civil War. It opened as the first commercial cemetery dedicated to the burial of African Americans in the St. Louis area. Over the course of the years that it operated as a cemetery, more than 50,000 people were buried at Greenwood. All phases of the military are accounted for, and many of our burials, particularly the earlier ones, were, of course, formerly enslaved persons.
And you had to do a great deal of research, as I understand it, for this program, going through the obituary records and other records there, correct?
Yes. Actually, we research almost on a constant basis for Greenwood. When this particular program came up, one of the things that we were able to tell the community is that we have the names of nearly 6,000 persons who were actually buried at Greenwood and who were born prior to emancipation in Missouri. So our research efforts go pretty deep.
What kind of records are available? I would think that they might be pretty sketchy during this period.
Some of them are. We have burial records. Actually, they go back to January 10th, 1870. 1874, which was the first burial at Greenwood. We have burial records that go to 1993, which was the last burial of Greenwood. But we don't stop there. We also use military records, ancestry records, old family trees, anything that will give us a sense of the people that were buried at Greenwood. Often when you visit a cemetery, the question is, who are the famous people? Well, we at Greenwood will be quick to tell you there are very few. Harriet Robinson Scott may be the most recognizable name of a burial at Greenwood. But the importance of a cemetery like Greenwood and many others is that we get a sense of everyday, ordinary people, which in turn gives us a picture of the society that they live in. When we study their lives, we get a picture of what the circumstances of their lives must have been like.
Maybe you can clarify something for me. Perhaps I misunderstood. You mentioned that 50,000 people are buried there.
Yes.
But I saw something indicating that there are only records of 7,000 or so burials. Is that correct?
Well, someone may have records of 7,000. We at Greenwood have records of 38,000, and we're working on filling the gap.
Okay. Well, congratulations on all
Thank
that
you.
Hard work. That's a monumental job, needless to say. Shakia, let me turn to you with regard to the History Museum's involvement in this kind of a program. It seems to me that this is an unusual approach, taking cemetery obituary records, if you will, and creating a program out of it. How did this come about?
Well, actually, back in November, Greenwood Cemetery partnered with the Missouri History Museum, and we did a program with the African American History and Genealogy Society. That's when we first became aware of the type of research that the Greenwood Cemetery is doing. And I'm coming from Maryland, and we celebrate Maryland Emancipation Day. And prior to that program, we were thinking about possible annual programs that we could do every year. And Emancipation Day was definitely something that I wanted to look into. And when I heard the research that was happening at Greenwood, I just thought it was a perfect marriage to kind of highlight the research that they're already doing and merge it with our records and our research collection and create this wonderful program.
Well, what is the format for the program?
Well, we're going to start off with a brief introduction. Then Miss Etta, we're going to toss it over to Miss Etta, and she's going to give a brief overview of a few of the different types of celebrations that happened throughout St. Louis, first in 1863 and then again in 1865. And then we're going to feature six individuals that are buried at Greenwood Cemetery. And Miss Etta and Shelley Morris will kind of go through their lives and, just like she stated, recreate and try to put us there and give us a sense of what it was like during emancipation and for some of the individuals even after emancipation. And then after the six individuals have gone through, after we have gone through their history, we're going to toss it over to Marvin, and he is going to do a first-person reenactment of Spotswood Rice.
All right. Marvin Alonzo, tell me about that.
As Shakia is, I'm a recent transplant to St. Louis, and one of the first people that I was told about when I got here by my colleagues at the Missouri History Museum was Spotswood Rice. And for those who don't know about him, he is definitely one of, I would say, not just St. Louis or Missouri's heroes, but a national hero. He symbolizes resistance to slavery and oppression. He and his wife, Ori, symbolize the strength of the African-American community, not just, again, in St. Louis or and in Missouri, but nationally. Spotswood Rice was born into slavery in about 1819. He is a freedom fighter. He's constantly running away, constantly trying to gain his freedom, and eventually he succeeds, and he enlists along with 200,000 other African Americans who enlist in the Union Army during the Civil War, and he enlists in the 67th United States Colored Troops, one of the many African American units that was raised right here in St. Louis out of Benton Barracks.
So what is your reenactment going to involve?
It's going to involve speaking to what does emancipation, what does freedom mean to African Americans during this turbulent time in American history in 1865 at the close of the Civil War, addressing some of the issues, some of the contradictions at America's founding. The Declaration of Independence said that all men are created equal, yet in 1865, African Americans are not part of that American dream just yet, and they're constantly pushing for equality, pushing for civil rights. And using Spotswood Rice's own words, he wrote two beautiful letters in 1864-1865 time period, one to his daughter, who was still in slavery, and then one to his daughter's slaveholder, a woman named Kitty Diggs. And so using his own words to help highlight this time period.
Etta, is the Spotswood Rice material something that has come through you and through the cemetery, letters and things of that nature? I would have assumed that the information you would have would be more or less vital statistics.
Actually, that's absolutely what it is. I became aware of Spotswood Rice actually not through his burial, because he's buried, I believe, in Colorado, or his wife's burial. She's buried at Greenwood, but through their daughter's story, which appeared in a volume of some material called The American Slave. Now, we started researching because of Ori Rice, who's at Greenwood, and it's impossible to tell her story without his story.
Mm-hmm. Why are they buried separately?
She died long before he did. She was his first wife. He remarried and moved away. He was a traveling preacher.
Mm-hmm. Shakia, back to you. You had mentioned during the earlier part of the conversation that you became aware of the kind of research that was going on. What specifically was it that you were hearing that attracted you to this project?
It was the way that they spoke life into the individuals that they were researching. They have a certain level of care that they take when they do research, and I think that's something that everyone should see. It's definitely very personal when you are talking about the ancestors and you're talking about honoring them in a very specific way. And that was something that I definitely, that we believe that needed to be showcased at the Missouri History Museum.
How does the research at the museum blend with what's being done at Greenwood?
Okay. Well, throughout the number one in civil rights exhibition, you will see examples of freedom suits, including Dred Scott and Harriet Scott and Winnie and Lucy Delaney. So this program is definitely just an extension of that. So you can come in and you can view the number one in civil rights exhibition, and you can get a more detailed story of what happened leading up to emancipation. But our goal is to teach everyone what happened after emancipation. Of course, number one in civil rights goes all the way up to Ferguson, but our goal is to
have people beyond
what's happening today as well. But our goal is to kind of educate people about what specifically took place during emancipation.
Mm-hmm. Marvin Alonzo, I'll put this to you and to the others as well, but I get the impression that this is more than a project. It's personal. Would you agree with that, and tell me how that would apply to you?
I would definitely agree. Part of the African-American tradition is embracing your African culture and African heritage, and honoring the ancestors, always looking back so you can progress forward, or what it's called in Ghana, Sankofa. Going back and fetch your history so you can progress forward and you know where you're going. And so working on this project, this collaboration with the Missouri History Museum as well as Greenwood Cemetery is just a continuation of that African-American tradition of finding your roots, finding out where your ancestors came from, those struggles and making history relevant. History is not just something that happened in the past, but it's our past reflects our future and our current situation. And so if you don't have an understanding of what your ancestors went through, what those heroes from Greenwood and from many other cemeteries throughout St. Louis went through, what they fought for, and this idea of resistance and perseverance to make America a more equitable and equal society, then it's going to be more difficult for us to progress forward as a people.
Right. I want to get the reactions to the two ladies here at the studio as well, but I have to take a break. So we'll hold those thoughts until we come back. We're talking about Missouri Emancipation Day. That's happening this Thursday, and there's a special presentation going to be taking place at the Missouri History Museum, and that's what we're talking about today with Shakia Gillette with the History Museum, Etta Daniels at Greenwood Cemetery, and Marvin Alonzo Greer with the Soldiers Memorial Military Museum. Back to continue this conversation in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back as we continue to talk about Missouri Emancipation Day with Shakia Gillette, Etta Daniels, and Marvin Greer. Let me come back to the personal side of this story, and Etta will pick it up with you.
Great. For us at Greenwood, this is extremely personal. I'm not sure how to put this so that it makes sense to everyone, but rather than see enslaved persons as this nameless, faceless group, we see them as Harriet Scott and what she might have worn to church on Sunday morning, or Lucy Ann Delaney and how she was able to protect her own family as they grew up, or, well, thousands of others. I think I mentioned that we have over 5,000 names of persons born during slavery. But I just think it's so important that we understand that these were people. These were not numbers. These were men and women who had lives, who raised families, who owned their own businesses, who went to work, who did the very same types of things that we're doing today. I think a part of St. Louis, unfortunately, is that we've lost so many of our little bits and pieces of history. So many of the things that make us community and family are simply gone. Hopefully, Greenwood will be able to help to fill in some pieces of that story, not just for the 1860s, but for the 1940s and the 1960s, and as time goes forward from there.
Just out of curiosity, do you have any evidence or any awareness that relatives of people who are buried there from the era that we're talking about are still here?
Sure, we do. Mm-hmm. For example, Marvin's going to be talking about Ori and Spotswood Rice. Their family still lives in St. Louis. Harriet Robinson Scott still has family here in St. Louis. And many others, more than I'm going to be able to think of at this exact moment. But yes, we do. We often one of the things that I think we're able to do well is connect the past to the present. And one of the ways that we do that is to bring people back to their past, people who may have forgotten that they have a relative who did a certain thing and lived at a certain time. But when we find that at Greenwood, we always go looking for that person to tell them about
it. I keep thinking of the phrase, the past is prologue, as we have this conversation, because that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, let me come back to you with regard to the personal side of this this whole project.
Again, like I stated, I just really believe in the work that's happening at Greenwood. I think when we were going through the research process, and Miss Etta and Shelley will probably never say it, but they just get so excited, and you can see the excitement, even through an email. When they find something new, it's, oh, Shakia, we found this, or we located that. And that makes it extremely personal. And I hope that each person that attends the program will feel that. That's really what we want to happen during Thursday evening's program. We want people to come in and feel what they feel when they were conducting the research.
Let me, as you mentioned the program Thursday evening, I'll just reinforce that. Make sure people know that Voices from the Grave with Greenwood Cemetery is being presented Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, of course, at the Missouri History Museum. It's only one day, one event, isn't it? An awful lot of work going into evening's work. Marvin Lonzo, let me come back to you. I want to pick up on something that Etta said with regard to the Spotswood Rice's family still being here. Have you had an opportunity in getting ready for your presentation to talk to these folks?
Not yet. Uh-huh. But they are a family that I am immensely excited about meeting. It's not every day that that I get to portray someone and then meet their ancestors or meet their descendants, rather. And most people, outside of seeing someone on film, like a historic film, most average Americans, our ancestors aren't spoken about. They aren't portrayed in theater or in film. And so to be able to take an average person like Spotswood Ori Rice, give them a face, give them words, and then be able to showcase that for a family like their descendants that still are in St. Louis today, I think is a great honor.
Will they be at the event on Thursday? Do you know?
We're hoping. We've contacted them, and we're hoping. Unfortunately, the people that I met years ago are no longer with us, so we're hoping that some of the younger people will come out.
Well, one of the things that I've seen in getting ready for this program is the fact that Missouri apparently is somewhat unique in the way that it observes Emancipation Day. Does that ring true to you, Adam?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I'm not sure either. Just there's something that I came across saying Missouri has a unique perspective on Emancipation Day.
I'll say for I'm not sure about how Missourians celebrate Emancipation Day, but the history of emancipation in Missouri is quite unique. It was one of a few border states. So Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to those enslaved individuals here in Missouri. That did not mean enslaved individuals did not take it upon themselves to liberate themselves. But as early as 1861, you had Union generals like General Fremont who tried to manumit or free individuals here in Missouri. Lincoln was not ready to issue Emancipation Proclamation that early, and so Fremont's proclamation was shot down. However, people in the enslaved community in Missouri are constantly fighting for that freedom from 1861 until 1865, So I think Missouri is unique in that perspective of having 1861 freedom date, 1863 freedom date, and then 1865 freedom date.
Ms. Shakia, my understanding is that there are Emancipation Days all over the calendar that because of what Marvin Alonso has just said.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're really hoping to make this an annual event and possibly celebrating Juneteenth this year. We'll be partnering with Coffee Right to do so. And we're looking at possibly bringing it to the Missouri History Museum. Again, this is just an extension of what we are hoping to do in the next coming years.
You mentioned Juneteenth, and I think that is a lot of people are familiar with that, but some people listening right now may not be. Juneteenth applies to Texas emancipation, does it not?
Correct. Yeah. But people all over the world celebrate that. And especially here in Missouri, I know that there are a lot of Juneteenth celebrations throughout the state. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping to just be one of the celebration spots.
Would you rather have one day to apply to Emancipation Day for everyone, or do you prefer to have them, as I say, all over the calendar? Does it make any difference?
I don't think there's any specific day you can that you can honor your ancestors and celebrate freedom. This idea of having a freedom struggle was not bound to one certain day. So I think that this is just my personal opinion, but I think that that having celebrations throughout the year is beautiful. We are a people that believe in freedom as Americans, and so being able to highlight these accomplishments of both the free and enslaved community in this fight for freedom and make it relevant that saying this fight for freedom isn't over. It didn't end in 1865. It didn't end in 1965. And it's not over in 2017 or 2018 now.
Yeah.
So, well, happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's not over today in 2018, but this fight for freedom is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just brings to mind the criticism you hear from time to time about Black History Month. Certainly, it's a worthwhile thing to be aware of and to reflect on. But a lot of people don't like the fact that it's relegated to a month, that it should be ongoing.
Yeah.
Agreed,
exactly.
Agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller here that wants to get into our conversation, so let's bring Pianki, I hope I have the name pronounced correctly, wants to get into the discussion. Let's bring her in. Go ahead, Pianki.
Yeah, I was going to ask your guest, with all the animosity that we see on former U.S. soldiers, American soldiers that fought not only in the American Civil War, but also in other wars that this country was involved in, Mexican-American War, Spanish-American War, Lee was in the Mexican-American War, Wheeler was in the Spanish-American War, also the American Civil War. Do you think that they are being unfairly ridiculed and pointed out to have their monuments removed, even though they fought in both sides, like I said before, American Civil War and also in the American War? What's your opinion?
Bianchi, thanks for the call. I think that's a little bit off the point that we have been discussing here, but if anyone who wants to try to answer that, I'd be happy to have you do it.
I can briefly touch on it. What we're focusing on here, at least for this program, is I was honoring these men and women, especially men like Spotswood Rice and thousands of others that served here in Missouri, and this fight for freedom, and to the caller's point, there's an amazing quote from a Confederate colonel, John Mosby, who said that in, I believe it was 1907, he's responding to a friend's letter about a Confederate veterans memorial where they're spouting all kind of lost cause propaganda. And as a Confederate veteran, he was upset. And he said, no, the war was about slavery. If it was right to own slaves at the time, it was right to fight for it. I fought for my country. I'm paraphrasing because that's what I believed in at that time. The South should know why they went to war. A soldier fights for his country regardless of the political merits of it. And I think to take that into account, you cannot separate the political ideology from the military ideology of when you're talking about the Confederacy. But focusing on these African American soldiers who fought, these men are fighting for freedom. Although the Union did not go to war to free enslaved people to begin with, the African American community knew from 1861 until 1865 that this war would alter the course of history and would ultimately lead to manumission and freedom for millions of people and our fellow countrymen here.
Well, we have to wind this down, but I have an email from Madonna in Crestwood here I'd like to get your response to. Madonna writes, when a subject is so personal as historians, how do you maintain your objectivity and focus when surrounded with so much emotional information? It would be impossible for me, Madonna writes. And it will give you a crack at that.
Okay, great. Actually, it is not difficult when you're trying to deal with 50,000 people. I think that if I were researching, doing some family research, then the emotional part of it may be a lot greater. Now, it is emotional at times when you discover someone and you understand that their contribution to history was so great, but their names are no longer there. But to answer your question, for me, it's not really very difficult. The most difficult thing is trying to find time to research as many people as possible. I hope that really kind of answers your question. Try to look at this objectively, but yeah, there are personal things that come into it. Some days it's almost to the point of tears, actually, when you consider everything that went into that person's life.
Shakia, do you want to respond to that as well?
I guess for me, I'm always looking for the truth when I do research. And it, like Etta said, it is hard. But if you just continue to search for the truth, you'll get the backstory that you need. And hopefully that'll keep you from swaying and keep your head on right without becoming overly emotional.
Marvin Alonzo, last word.
I would agree. Delving into the primary sources, because there's always each individual's opinion, but it's hard to argue with someone of the past. If they wrote it down and said, this is how I feel on X day, I can't say, well, no, you didn't feel that way, and that's not why you did X. So trying to remove yourself and say, what are our ancestors saying? Let's listen to their words. And then for those who didn't leave a written trail, let's look into the documents that we do have about your life. What might have you, based on other circumstances, based on other evidence, what was your life like? To just define these everyday stories of common people like you and I, who the world may never know about nor ever remember, but still left an impact on not just the state, not just the city, but the world and this country.
And that impact should be felt on Thursday evening. Thanks to Shakia Gillette. Thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us from the Missouri History Museum. Etta Daniels, head historian at Greenwood Cemetery. Thank you so much for being with us. Marvin Alonzo Greer with the Soldiers Memorial Museum. Thank you for being with us
thank
as well.
Thank you for having me.
A reminder, the Missouri History Museum presents Voices from the Grave with Greenwood Cemetery Thursday at 7 p.m. at the museum. Again, I thank you all. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.